Go behind the wheel, under the hood, and beyond with Car Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hi, welcome to Car Stuff. I'm Scott Benjamin.
And I'm Ben Bolin.
Ben, today we're talking about vans. Everything about vans, right?
Yes, all about vans. And before we go any further, there's something I have to get off my chest.
Now, what's that? What's troubling you today?
All right, so, you know, I try my best to be punctual. Usually I come through in the clutch, but it's not uncommon for me to be 5 minutes late to stuff, right?
Understood, yeah.
And Atlanta traffic being what it is, you always need to add a margin of 10 minutes on either side wherever you're going, right?
Yeah, I get it.
So I have, over the years, developed something of a complex about a certain type of van. And I'm just going to say it, just going to go out in the open with it. Honda Odyssey.
Oh, you got a problem with Honda Odyssey drivers? Is that it?
Huge problem. I used to tell my friends that I believed when somebody bought a Honda Odyssey in Atlanta, the dealer would throw in a little GPS that lets them know when Ben Bolin is trying to get somewhere. It's like, oh, then we can just swarm. And it seems like, you know how confirmation bias works, of course. So it seemed like for a number of years that every time I was stuck behind, a slow driver just stuck in traffic, I was right smack dab behind a Honda Odyssey.
You know, I've heard this many times from other people that they have a particular beef with certain vehicles on the road, certain vehicles and owners, I guess, because, you know, the ones operating it. But let's say it's like the PT Cruiser or something. They'll say 90% of the time, whoever drives a PT Cruiser is a bad driver, and here's the reasons why. And they'll give you 10 reasons, and they've got, you know, these bad experiences with them. You've got the same thing with the Honda Odyssey. I bet our listeners, I'm sure they have some experiences with other types of vehicles as well.
Yeah. Now, I think it's a very good point you make, Scott. I want to go ahead. It feels good to get it out there finally, but also I want to go ahead and point out that I'm not saying these are bad drivers. I'm just saying that usually when I'm behind a slow car, for years it has seemed to me it was a Honda Odyssey. But as we will find out, not only are Honda Odysseys not bad cars, are not bad vehicles, but they're actually tremendously popular.
Yeah, that's right. You know what? Can I just go ahead and say it? Because, I mean, we're kind of deep into the Honda Odyssey section of our show, I guess, if you want to call it
sorry,
that, right?
Yeah.
And I promise we'll go back and kind of catch up in just a minute, but you said it's very popular. It's among the most popular vans of 2013, as a matter of fact, which is remarkable, really. I mean, there's a lot of minivans sold worldwide, a lot of minivans sold in the United States particularly. The Honda Odyssey tops the list. It's number one for minivans. And you know, it's kind of broken down into full-size vans, minivans, cargo vans, you know, all that type of different thing. But Honda Odyssey is number one. Then it's like the Toyota Sienna, Kia Sedona, Mazda 5, Dodge Caravan, Nissan Quest, the Chrysler Town & Country. You know, the list goes on and on. There's a huge list of minivans, but again, the Honda Odyssey is number one on the list for 2013. So there's a good reason there's a lot of them on the road in front of you, Ben.
Exactly. And when I found this out in our research, Scott, I came to the point where I decided that it was time to make peace with the Honda Odyssey. So to every Honda Odyssey driver out there, I admit that you probably don't have a GPS that tells you to get in my way when I'm in a hurry. And in retrospect, perhaps that is a paranoid belief.
Well, that is mighty big of you, Ben. Mighty big.
I'm becoming a better person on air.
What a grown up.
What a grown up. Anyway, so that all aside, that little segue into vans, let's start at the beginning, just the very basic stuff. Scott, what is a van? At the most basic level.
At the most basic, I mean, you can look up a definition of a van. It'll tell you that it's a covered box-like vehicle that's used for transporting people and goods, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. It's got sliding doors. It's got rear doors, sometimes on one side, sometimes on both sides, you know, these sliding doors. But really, I mean, you can pick a van out of a crowd of vehicles easily. I mean, it's just the large roof line, the large structure, the usually boxy design, very square in most cases. Now, minivans are a different ballgame. You know, they've really made those pretty sleek, and it's tough to tell the difference between like some of the older wagons and some of the newer minivans, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're much taller in many cases, but I've seen a lot of minivans recently that are relatively low. It's not like they've got that real high boxy roof line like they used to. Think about the very first Dodge Caravans and things like that. Those were really squared off, really utilitarian in their design. And they still are. They're inside. They're very, very functional, very useful. But they've become more and more sedan-like in their design exterior-wise.
Right. And that's interesting because when we talk about vans in the United States, well, first, great point. I had the same definition of vans. When we talk about vans in the United States, we're talking about a history that goes way, way, way back. I mean, it depends on how you want to cover it because van comes from caravan and, you know, that predates automotive vehicles altogether.
You're talking like covered wagon days, right?
Yeah, we could talk covered wagon days. That would be a precursor to the van. But if we're talking about the more modern age, or at least the automotive age, then it goes back to sedan deliveries in the 1930s. It goes back to custom coach building for, you know, if you think about it, and we will explore custom vans in this podcast for everybody.
Oh, yes, we will. I've got a lot of info about custom vans.
Yes. And so get ready for that. And if you think about it, what's interesting about the story of vans is that in the beginning, all vans were custom vans because of the custom coach builders.
That's true. Yeah, there wasn't, you know, two of them that were alike, really. I mean, you would go to a coach builder and have them build your own model however you wanted it. And it was usually, I bet a lot of these were for, you know, commercial purposes. You know, they were used by a carpenter, a local carpenter. They were used by a, you know, carpenters might build their own, really.
Yeah, a carpenter might build their own. They also might run a mortuary.
Well, that's true. Yeah. Okay. So, you know, custom vans were something of, I don't want to say a novelty, Ben, but they weren't all that prevalent as they are now. We're seeing a lot of minivans, which is no surprise. I mean, to anybody who's looking out on the street as they're driving around, there's minivans everywhere. That's they're huge. They top the sales in some markets, right?
Right, absolutely.
And you know, there's fewer and fewer, I would say, cargo vans, full-size vans around than there are minivans. I think people are kind of made the shift over to minivans versus having like a full-size cargo van that seats people, because you get a lot of what we call a conversion van amenities, I guess, inside a minivan nowadays that you didn't get before.
Right.
And there's the reasons to, you know, for comfort reasons, I guess, to buy a minivan.
Yeah, nowadays it's not that bad to live in a van down by the river.
Not bad. Not bad. Not bad.
It, depending on the van. But yeah, that's a great point about amenities. The full-size vans that we're talking about, I've always associated them with schools, churches, or airport shuttles.
Yeah, exactly.
They like seat 15 people.
Exactly. Those humongous vans. Mm-hmm. I mean, those things are big. They've got, what, four rows of passengers behind the driver? So
yeah.
They're awful big. I mean, 15-passenger vans are, they're still around. You can still order them. But, I mean, really, outside of shuttle, like you mentioned, you know, airport shuttles, transport to and from churches and, you know, community groups, things like that, maybe Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, things like that, you don't really see a whole lot of them on the road, really.
Yeah, it's not a daily driver for a lot of people.
But so, work vans. Yeah. Work vans. I mean, we do have to mention work vans, I think.
I think that's a great point.
Cargo vans, you know, vans that don't have a lot of seating inside, but they're just an open cargo hauling area. And, you know, they don't have windows all along the way. So that they're, you know, one, it protects the stuff that's inside.
Sure.
And you can't really see what's inside them outside of the front and the rear window. But also that, you know, you don't have to worry about smashing those windows out when you're loading lumber into them, or you have your, you know, you're loading your welding unit, your portable welding unit into the back. You don't have to worry about, you know, smashing the windows out, the side windows out and those things.
Yeah.
So, you know, the cargo vans are another thing. I mean, there's vans like the GMC Savannah and the Chevy Express van and these, you know, the big E-series vans from Ford, I think it is. Of course, Dodge is making some huge cargo van now called the ProMaster. I don't know if everybody's seen the. Have you seen the ProMaster?
I saw a picture.
It's pretty big. And then Nissan has one called the NV, I think. But there's a lot of really big vans still out there. It's just, I think the tide has shifted over to minivans.
Yeah, clearly. And also, let us not be remiss and forget step vans. Step vans are what you see in a UPS truck is a step van. A FedEx is a step van.
Those are giant.
Yeah, and they're called step vans because you can walk into them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the source of the name, but that industry is also doing really well because there's just such a demand for those, you know, in truth, Scott, a lot of that demand comes from those two companies.
So those are those huge vans that you see where, like, usually the side door is open, the sliding door, and the driver's sitting way up high. You know, they step in like, yeah, exactly. They're very, very square in design.
Yeah.
They're used in big cities a lot because it's easier to use, you know, two or three of those versus one semi-load that would drive in a crowded city situation. So it's easier to navigate in and out, and it's quicker, it's more efficient. They found
way
to
more
do it
versatile.
That way. Yeah, they may be able to take, you know, send two or three drivers into downtown Atlanta instead of having one semi driver that's trying to make all these different, you know, routes with mm-hmm. with a lot of different packages. It's just not going to happen. So it's much more versatile vehicle, I guess.
And I think what we're doing here now is just pointing out that the word van is a huge umbrella term because, spoiler alert for anyone who doesn't already know this, van doesn't mean the same thing in every country, and other countries have different versions of their most popular van, mm-hmm. their Honda Odyssey.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I've got another list that has the biggest selling vans of 2013 for the United Kingdom.
Oh, lay it on me.
And things like the Ford Transit or Vauxhall Vivano, I think, or Vivaro, I think it is. Volkswagen Transporter, the Mercedes-Benz Sprinter wagon, which, you know, we have those here in the States too, the Sprinter. Citroen, Peugeot, VW, Ford, Toyota, Fiat, those are the ones that produce these cargo vans, these commercial vans mm-hmm. that people use. I think they call them something different there. I'm going to have to look at, oh yeah, you know what? Here in the United States, vans are typically classified as light duty trucks. In
yes.
North America. And in Europe, they're classified as light commercial vehicles. So slightly different. I think they also call, you know, some of the bigger vehicles lorries, and lorries mm-hmm. are not what we're talking about. I think a lorry is larger.
Right. For our purposes, a lorry is to one side of this discussion. We should also mention that one of the large defining factors of vans, at least in the States, is that they have, front mounted engines, and their front wheel drive.
Oh yeah, that's a good point. Cause, you know, some of the bigger vehicles, like we've talked about, the school buses and things, they often have specialized chassis where they throw the engine in the back end.
Yeah.
And, this is not the case. These are just, you know, large, oftentimes, well, we say light duty, but I'll tell you, some of these are pretty heavy duty. They haul a lot of weight.
And I want to point out, just on the UK side, Scott, have you checked out the Ford Transit?
No, I have not.
It has tiny wheels. I'm just going to say, when you look at a picture, I want you to tell me what you think of the wheelbase, wheel size.
Just very, very small in proportion to the rest of the body, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
It looks so. It looks to be so, and I don't know why. I'd be interested to hear why. No, the Ford Transit does very well in that market.
Oh, yeah. You know what? They sold year to date, which is, you know, right through October, I guess. I think mm-hmm. as of September, as a matter of fact. They sold something like nearly 28,000 Ford Transit vehicles in UK. So huge, huge number of these things are sold. The second in line, just to give you an idea, the Vauxhall,
mm-hmm.
11,000.
Wow.
So far and away, the Ford Transit is the number one seller over there for vans. But man, I'll have to take a look at some photos and see what I think of the wheels. Now, I've always thought that of the Mercedes-Benz Sprinter wagon, the Sprint
mm-hmm.
wagon too.
Mm-hmm.
And, it just seems like out of, proportionally, I guess you're right. They seem kind of strange. They're very tall, very narrow usually.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they even have that extended roof on top, you know, that fiberglass or, you know, whatever. Maybe it's metal in
some
cases.
So that you can stand up inside.
Well, that's it. Yeah. I mean, it's very, they're very functional vehicles. I mean, they're used oftentimes for business use, of course. They're sometimes for personal transit. Not a lot of people have these as their own personal vehicle just to drive.
Yeah, exactly. It's good if you have a job that requires you to move a bunch of equipment, or maybe you're in a band, or if you're transporting the elderly, or you have a disabled person, or you yourself have some special requirements for driving.
Oh, sure. There are plenty of times I can think of when a van or the space that a van provides would be useful to me. I mean, things that I want to haul that I can't, you know, throw in the trunk of my car. It won't even fit into the opening of the trunk of my car. And, you know, in a van, no problem. And you want to go pick up a new couch, you don't have to pay that $125 delivery charge or whatever it is, you know, to have it brought to your house. You can just have them load it in the back, get a friend, and have them do it, you know, on the other side at home. So, you know, there's a lot of benefits to having a larger vehicle. You know, it could be used as a cargo van. It could be used as, I guess shuttle vehicles like we talked about, or shop vehicles. There's all kinds of different things. I mean, we talked about transportation for large groups of people. You know, like maybe you're in a church group and you want to drive people to and from the church on weekends, or you want to take the Boy Scouts on camping trips, I guess, if you're a leader. I don't know if they own vehicles like that or not. I don't know if the Boy Scouts of America own vehicles that they designate for that or not, but, you know, airport shuttle services or anywhere that has to get people back and forth. Businesses use it sometimes if they have a remote parking lot. You know, they'll have a 15-passenger van and bring people to and from the office, you know, back to remote lots.
Oh, great example. Film productions, film and TV production routinely use the shuttles if they need to get somebody from, as you said, a remote parking lot or from, you know, the base camp of wherever to the actual shoot. One thing we should talk about, though, van safety. Hmm. It's a big issue because, you know, I clocked this when – we earlier mentioned the shortening profile of vans, of minivans especially.
Sure.
They're getting shorter with time. Why is that? Part of that reason is that one of the abiding criticisms of earlier vans was this perception that they rolled over super easily, right?
Yeah. And, you know, that's true. I mean, the early vans did do that. So did, you know, you got to think about, though, like, so did some of the early Jeep vehicles. Any of the taller SUVs, you know, they were having, Ford was having the trouble with the Explorers with the blown tires, and they would overcorrect and it would roll over.
Yeah.
There were a lot of the taller vehicles, from even 15, 20 years. Well, actually, you know what? It's probably 20, 25 years now, that had this rollover issue, and they've pretty much got that straightened out. They figured out how to get the center of gravity lower into the chassis, into the frame, how to correctly space the wheels, I guess, so that, you know, they don't have these short wheelbases and that they're wide enough that, you know, an average turn, I guess, at, you know, whatever speed the safety administration that checks these type of things, I would think it's the NHTSA that, that checks these type of things. They check them for rollover so they make sure that, you know, at a certain speed, they're not going to just, you know, topple over and roll on their side or completely over. You know, there's a lot of different safety checks and balances that are in place now that prevent a lot of what we saw, you know, 25 and 30 years ago now.
Right. Yeah.
A lot of that's not happening anymore.
Right. Because we've addressed the idea of the higher center of gravity and the weight shifting. The specific document you're referencing there is called Reducing the Risk of Rollover Crashes in 15 Passenger Vans by the NHTSA.
Well, that's very specific, isn't it?
It is very specific. And it has, a number of rule of thumb things to address this. And I think the point that we're making here is that while the stories of rollovers may have been accurate a few decades back, both regulatory agencies and manufacturers have worked assiduously to make sure this is not the case. So, hey, buddy, if you want to buy that van and race it, you know, roll the dice. Go for it.
I guess so. That's very close to school bus racing, you know, in size, I suppose. You know,
yeah.
In danger, maybe.
Uh-huh.
All right. You know what? You mentioned earlier, just a few minutes ago, you mentioned film crews often use vans to go back and forth, you know, from the shoot locations, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that got me thinking about some movies that I've seen on Netflix recently.
And, oh, okay.
I've got a recommendation for our listeners. And this one, you have to kind of pay attention to the end here for the car angle on this one, but it's worth it. It's funny. It's a good movie. You'll enjoy it. The title is A Bag of Hammers. And it is from.
I'm in.
It's kind of a funny name. It's a comedy drama. Okay. So, you know, a little bit funny. Sometimes it's a little more serious. 2011 is when this thing was released. It stars, John Ritter, who is, the son of actor John Ritter, actor John Ritter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's Jack on Three's Company. Jake Sandvig, I think is his name, and Chandler Canterbury, Rebecca Hall. Here's a summary of what goes down.
Okay.
It's a story about two best friends, and these guys' names are Alan and Ben, and they're really, they just can't seem to face adulthood. They can't seem to grow up. These guys are like a couple of children running around, right? But they're adult age.
Mm-hmm.
And they can't seem to leave what the rest of society considers like a legal, decent, you know, moral life, I guess. And you'll find out what that means in just a minute. But, Alan's sister, one of the characters, his sister is really on their case about this. And she kind of gives them a lot of like, really funny in a way, but a lot of like, you know, grow up speeches, right?
Tough love.
Yeah, exactly. You gotta, you know, pull your big boy pants on and get things together because, you know, you're an adult now. And, so they have this new neighbor that moves in And through this kind of weird series of meetings and circumstances and things that happened, these two guys somehow become like a father figure to the new neighbor's son. Okay. And, you know, they're having this difficulty growing up, you know, so they're practically kids themselves. Well, here's the car angle. And you got to understand what they were doing that was really ticking off his sister, Alan's sister, and everybody around them. They were stealing cars at funeral homes and cemeteries, Ben, by posing as valets.
Oh, man.
So let's say this. This is the trailer.
Okay.
They're standing, you know, there's a scene in a cemetery. People are pulling up, you know, to the plot there. You know, they park on the side of the road. These two guys are standing there with a valet sign, you know, a breadboard sign or whatever that's posted on the side. It says complimentary valet, our condolences, you know, that type of thing. And they're dressed the part. You know,
wow.
They've got the vest on, bow tie. I mean, this is pretty low, right?
It's brilliant, but morally reprehensible.
Exactly. And you know what? It comes off, and I know, I understand what you're saying, but it comes off as very funny in the movie. It's one of those types of things.
Maybe I'm a bad person, but it sounds really funny.
So they're car thieves, right? And they pull up, the person pulls up, they of course hand them the keys, and the second that they leave, they just throw the sign in the back of the car, and the two of them hit it, and they go out somewhere into town, and they sell the car for cash. And that's how they exist. And they do this among other things. And again, they're just having a hard time growing up. It's these guys that just can't seem to get it together, but this is one of their main schemes, one of their main, hoaxes.
Yeah. So they're con artists.
Yeah, they're con artists. And you know what? It does sound, a little dark, but it's funny.
Are you kidding? It sounds great. This is Bag of Hammers. And, if you like comedy, it's good news. Speaking of getting a chuckle out, I've got to tell you a very brief anecdote.
Okay, let's
hear it. Right, okay. So when I was in high school, in my checkered past as a tyke, there was one guy in our high school who had a van.
Oh, there's always that guy.
There's always that van guy. Yeah. And, of course, he had his hair grown out, right?
Long. It was growed out?
Growed out.
Kidding. No,
my Tennessee came out.
That's okay.
So he's kind of a rock and roll guy, long hair. You know, he was one of the bad guys because he smoked cigarettes in the parking lot and he's very good at guitar. And he had this van, and it was a van that I think you would really appreciate, Scott. Late 70s, had some ridiculous, in retrospect, ridiculous airbrush on it. Right. And, you know, he had a house. He had a nice family, parents. He told me that he would rather just live in his van because he had a beanbag, he had, you know, a cooler, and he thought he had it made. And I'll tell you what, man, for a while, for most of junior year, I thought, yeah, James has it figured out.
He really does. And you know what? This is the hallmark of every van owner that I've ever known, I think, is that, you know, it seems like they've got it all together, like they're the cool guy for a while. And then you realize, like, well, maybe it's not all that great. You know, it's not as glamorous as it may seem initially, right? So custom vans are something that I definitely want to talk about. Can we kind of move into that region at this point?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, custom vans and conversion vans are maybe the same thing, I guess. Now, there was a heyday for custom vans, what we call custom vans here in the United States. And that was probably the late 1960s through the early 1980s. I think you can just say it was throughout the 1970s and cover it that way. Maybe that's the best way to say
it. That's a good way to say it.
So you don't have to get tangled up in the overlap, I suppose. Mm-hmm. But it's a full-size van, or the description of what a custom van or conversion van will be. It's a full-size van that's, you know, produced at a factory somewhere as maybe a cargo van or something simple, right? And then it's sent out to a third party to be outfitted with lots of different luxuries or, you know, amenities that would be good for extended road trips or possibly for camping or just, you know, some outlandish things that people want. Like, you know, almost not exactly custom coachwork.
But close.
But similar in that you could say, you know, you could take it somewhere and have them design your van almost. Like, I want a couch against that back wall.
And I want that couch to fold out.
Exactly. It's got to be a bed, and I want a, a cabinet here for my clothes over here on this side.
Yeah, maybe a countertop.
Exactly, and I need those mushroom-shaped windows.
Yeah.
I have to have that.
Those are the main things that I have
to
have.
And shag carpet, wall to wall. Oh, and the ceiling.
What are your prices on disco balls?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So stuff like that, right? And there's a lot of traits of these early custom vans. And I know we're just joking about it, but if you think about it, I'm going to just mention a few things here.
We named several real
ones. We already have, but I mean, like thick padded seats, you know, and a lot of times they had those captain's chairs that would swivel like 360 degrees. Almost like what you'd see on the flying bridge of a yacht or something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like way up at the top. So, custom lighting was often used, raised roofs so you could stand up inside the van, which was important.
Yep.
Also they would have huge windows, and think about those windows on some of those early conversion vans and custom vans.
Mm-hmm.
Some of those things were as big as windows in a house.
That is true, and they were on the sides and the rear, so some of them were large enough that people would put shades in them. Have you seen that?
I have, yes. Or even curtains. A lot of times they put curtains in them. And they were always, you know, deep tinted, or they were chromed, you know, like, so they were almost like a mirror finish. Man, let's see what else. Oh, here's a big one. Waterbeds. People would literally put water. I mean, you know, you hear the tales of them, but it truly did happen. There were people that would put waterbeds inside a custom van. And man, can you imagine the chassis work that had to be done, the suspension upgrades that would have to happen to make that work?
Whoa. I think the key word you're leaving out there is the work that would have to happen to make that work safely. Because I'm going to go out on a limb and say that a lot of those people putting waterbeds in their minivans might have just done some DIY on the interior and not considered the suspension or the chassis.
Not even thought about the weight.
Maybe not. And I have seen a waterbed in a van. And you know, man, for a long time, I've had this dream of just living in an RV once the gas prices get affordable. But even for someone like me, I think a waterbed in a van is just, it's a bit much. It's cool, but would you want to sleep on it every day?
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't know. I just can't see. I see a lot more negative side effects to having a water bed in a van than having just a standard bed in a van, I suppose.
I bet you though there's somebody who's figured out a perfect system for it, but I digress.
Yeah. So, all right. So there's also tables, and there's also shag carpet that we mentioned, and, you know, all these other, you know, designer type things, I guess, if you want to call it that. I mean, as far as like disco balls, we mentioned custom lighting, things like
auxiliary
that,
right? Electric access, so
exactly.
Outlets and stuff.
Exactly. Now, I mean, to differentiate the two though, I want to say that minivans, a lot of times, you know, there were full size vans and minivans, I guess, that were, they were modified for camping and were modified for very practical uses.
Sure.
A lot of them were, you know, for, well, let's say, like, you've got somebody that in your family that has a wheelchair.
Right.
And you modify them for mobility purposes. That's a fantastic, use for a conversion van company that, you know, they can put a side lift in the thing and, you know, able to get somebody in and out easily, quickly. I've seen them through the back as well, so you can roll straight through to the front. That's another popular thing to do, I guess, you know, as far as if you have that situation, that's something that's, very accessible to you. You can do that for minivans. You can do that for full size vans.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't, necessarily like the custom van craze that we're talking about or anything, but that was more like along the conversion van side of things where a manufacturer may recommend a third party and say, we know somebody that does a really good job at this. Here's where you go.
I have to ask, favorite custom vans.
Favorite custom vans?
Because, Scott, when we were off air, this was one of the things you were most excited about.
Yeah, that's right. You know, I was thinking about vans that were used in movies and in television and just other places, you know, where you might see a custom van. And a lot of these are, you know, vans right from that era that you're talking about, the 1970s, early 60s, whatever. And I've got just a short list of television, maybe some bands that use them, some toys, movies, things like that. And I'll just quickly go through it if you want.
Yeah, I want to hear it.
Think about the Charlie's Angels van.
Oh, nice.
And I bet a lot of people haven't ever seen that van, maybe our listeners, unless they're older listeners. But the Charlie's Angels van was a pink van, pink inside, had a lot of custom van features that we're talking about. The A-Team van?
Yep. Okay, you got one of mine. Yeah. I'm keeping a list here. Of course, the Mystery Machine from Scooby-Doo.
That's right. How about bands that owned custom vans like Kiss? There's the Kiss van, which was infamous.
Legendary.
Suppose. Yeah, and movie vans. Like, there's there's some that are well-known and some that aren't well-known. And you can find these on several lists online, some of the most fantastic conversion custom vans out there. There's one called Adventures in the Sin Bin, which is a is a crazy movie that, you know, probably not for everybody in our audience, but the van that's used in it, pretty remarkable, I'll tell you
that. Oh, man, the Sin Bin?
The Adventures in the Sin Bin. So you can imagine what that's like. Oh, but get this. The Silence of the Lambs. You remember Buffalo Bill's kidnapping scene?
Oh,
that's a scary
yeah.
van scene.
That's a scary van.
That's a terrible... I mean, that's... There's a lot of these that lend themselves to the kind of creepy guy in a van scenario, you know, like this exactly that stereotype that we think about.
In some of my friend circles, those are referred to as serial killer vans, the ones with no windows
yeah.
except on the back, and those are blacked out. And the lack of windows and the lack of maintenance on the cars on the vehicle is what will make people think it's a serial killer van. So if you have a van, especially a full-size van with no windows, then you need to make sure that thing is clean, man. Keep it waxed, keep it washed, make the tires look good, because otherwise you will be suspect number one if anything goes wrong.
Yeah, and if you're seen anywhere in the area just kind of cruising around in that van, you're the guy they're probably going to go to. So there's some others that are a little less sinister, I suppose.
Sure. What about the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles van?
Oh, I hadn't even thought of that one.
Right.
So that's a cartoon use, right?
Yes.
Now, you mentioned Scooby-Doo, but yeah. that was also a movie van. They also had a real one
mm-hmm.
As well. What about the ones that were used in the Cheech and Chong movies, like Up in Smoke, where they actually had a van that was built out of, fiber that was made from marijuana? You remember that?
Oh, yeah, a hemp van.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, the whole body was supposedly made out of marijuana.
Oh, side note, somebody asked us to cover hemp vehicles.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No kidding. Okay, well, maybe we'll do that. How about, this isn't exactly a custom van, but it's more of a hippie van, I suppose.
Okay.
The Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Oh, yeah.
The original.
Mm-hmm.
That's one that, you know, a lot of people can remember that van that they used in that just because of that, you know, the scenes that happened in that. There's also the Shaggin' Wagon from Dumb and Dumber, which was the dog grooming van that looked like a dog. You remember that with
mm-hmm.
the furry outside?
Mm-hmm.
Traded it for a scooter of something, some kind. All right. What about Fast Times at Ridgemont High? We've got Spicoli's van.
Oh, that's right.
That's an infant. That's the one that had a disco ball.
See, and that I think is one of the iconic cool high school guy vans.
I think you're exactly right. It was always smoke filled. Those guys were always rolling out of it with beer bottles coming out everywhere and everything. That was quite a van. So it's just a lot. Oh, you know, one last one. Just a quick mention. Toys. There's a lot of toys. I mean, I'm sure that there was a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle van that was made, you know, that kids could buy.
I had one.
Barbie Dream Van.
Yep.
There's one of those, of course. There's a lot of different vans that, you know, you'll find out there. And I think I'm sure there's, you know, versions of the Charlie's Angels van and the A-Team van and the Kiss van
mm-hmm.
that you can buy in model form or, you know, plastic toys, whatever.
So at this point, I think that's a good list. At this point, let's do a couple things. I'll run through just some different uses of the word van in other countries. And we have one thing that we've been holding back too.
Yeah, I want to hold off on that to the very end. I've got one more little thing. I just maybe some uses that we haven't really even mentioned, I guess. I mean,
oh, okay.
And it kind of goes along with the custom van thing. So I don't know if you want to do that first. Do you want to do your thing first? How do you want to handle?
Let's just run through the countries first and then we'll go to the uses.
Fantastic.
Because that might help inform the other thing.
Exactly.
All right. So in India, people use vans often just to take kids to and from school the way that a school bus would, because of the congestion or the school buses themselves are already full.
Okay, makes sense.
And also in countries in Central and South America, vans are a very common form of urban transport. So in Guatemala, for instance, if you take a trip that a chicken bus wouldn't cover between cities, you can just give someone a couple of KTOLs and they'll drive you around the city itself.
Hmm.
So vans are used as a kind of ad hoc public transit.
I see. So it could be a taxi when it's needed.
Right. Exactly. Now, in Australia, the word van could mean a couple of different things because it could be used interchangeably with the word caravan. Also, a full-size van would still be a van, but if it's a passenger van that has a bunch of seats, like what we've called a shuttle van or a church van or something, that would be called a minibus. And when we look, I'm saying these examples just to show that, again, the word van can mean different things depending on where you are. Like, is it a tractor trailer, or is it just, some people might refer to a van just to denote one of those trailers that's hauled behind a car, like an Airstream.
And the bigger point is, though, vans are really all over the world. They're everywhere. I mean, it seems like every continent you go into, every country you go into, there's a van somewhere in that country that's doing some type of commercial work, some type of, taxi transport work. Somebody that owns one just for personal use to haul things, you know, back and forth on their own property, whether it's people, goods, you know, whatever it happens to be. Right.
So
they're everywhere.
Yeah. And although we do see them in the United States, at least, we see many vans far more often. That's just because for this market, people who would buy a transport such as this are buying vans primarily to transport people. In the States, if somebody wants to buy something to transport goods, they usually buy a pickup truck.
Yeah, that's a good point. Something that's open in the back versus, and they could buy a cab or something like that in order to cover the back end if they need it. But yeah, you're right. It's rare for somebody to buy a cargo van just for driving around town for, you know, the daily commuter, really.
If they do, it's probably customized and they're probably a very interesting person.
Probably. But you know what? That's kind of leads into our uses for, custom vans or cargo vans or whatever. I think let's stick to custom vans because, you know, the vans that, you know, people have really outfitted with, exactly the way they want to. And Ben, I guess, you know, this is funny. The first thing on my list, and I shouldn't, it's a family-friendly show, right, Ben?
It is a family.
Right,
we
so
are
let's
a family-friendly show.
Let's just mention the old wink, wink, nudge, nudge, say no more. You know, that's something. Then there's also,
It took me a second.
Our older listeners know. Okay,
right,
so
you guys get it.
Daily transportation. Let's move on quickly. A daily transportation, maybe. Really not all that common, I guess.
No.
But at one point in history, I think that it was perfectly acceptable. You know, to get into a custom van. All by yourself, drive around, you know, that's your daily ride to and from work or wherever you happen to be going, right?
Yeah, and the odds are statistically higher that you had a nickname.
Yeah, and also one of those amazing airbrush paint jobs on the side, and we should do a podcast completely about airbrush jobs on custom vans.
We should.
Or at least a photo gallery or something.
We should do a video on it.
Okay. Something.
Next use.
All right, next use. You know what? This is a good one, and I want to distinguish that a custom van is not an RV. But a lot of people use it as if it were one.
Right. Yeah, especially when we're talking about the amenities taken to the level of making a small studio apartment in the van.
Exactly. Now, a lot of people use them as kind of like a rolling hotel room, but it's really good for maybe like an overnight stay or a weekend stay because they don't have the same hookups like an RV would have. They don't have a water hookup. They often don't have electricity hookups.
Right. And they wouldn't have a restroom in the van in most cases.
In most cases. Now, some do. I've seen, you know, on Pimp My Ride or something like that. You know, they,
right.
For a surfer one time, I think they installed like a washing machine so the guy could, you know, throw his surfing clothes into the washing machine and dryer when he was done, you know, something.
Wouldn't it be amazing to have them pimp out your ride?
It would be pretty fun. I mean, but I'm not crazy about having TV screens everywhere.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
and it seems like that's their thing.
That's one of the things. Well, we'll do an episode on Pimp My Ride. What's next use?
Cruising. Of course you can cruise in a custom van. I mean, you drive around town looking all cool and you're, again, your van looks like painted like a shark or something cool like
yeah,
that, right? Why not?
Of course. You can, you could also, this is a little bit unorthodox, but I've seen them become instant food trucks at a tailgating party.
That is a good use for them because they can haul they can bring the grill, right? They've got
right.
all the space for all the stuff, the tables, the grill, the, you know, whatever you happen to bring, all the food, drinks.
Now, and keep in mind, this is even more impressive because typically, a lot of food carts or food trucks use customized step vans, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you took off the paint, it would look very close to a USPS, a FedEx, or a UPS truck. But this van that I saw was one of the shuttle vans, one of those 15-seaters. They had knocked out the seats. And they were selling, like, hot dogs. And this guy totally did it himself.
Now, I've seen some older ice cream trucks that are that way. You know, they just throw a cooler in the back, and that's about it. And the person has to kind of, you know, be hunched over as they get the ice cream out of the cooler. It's kind of like there's an ice cream truck, and then there's, like, the scary ice cream truck. And that's kind of the scary ice cream truck.
It's scary when you look inside of an ice cream truck. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah, you know, we're getting back into the creepy guy in a van scenario, right? All right. Also, we mentioned, I think, you know, custom conversion bands can be used to tour the countryside if you're in a band. A lot of bands like to use these because of the space for instruments and people. You know, it's a good multi-purpose vehicle. You know, it's a lot of different uses. Artists also love to use, well, we mentioned this already. Actually, I don't even know if I need to say it. And, you know, they like to use the side of a van is almost like a canvas.
Right.
So they buy it, you know, and they use it as like a display of their work.
Mm-hmm.
Or somebody takes it to a friend that does that type of work. Or, you know, it's something that symbolizes, you know, a lot of people get, you know, tattoos that symbolize something important to them.
Sure.
People, I think they still do, but more so in the past, they used to use the side of the van as, again, like this big canvas, almost like the people use tattoos now, something that's important to them to show the world what they feel and think.
And people will still do that. The craze is just not as common. So it'd be like a tribute to your favorite band or something. You have, you know, Winger or, I guess Van Halen would be the most appropriate.
How about like a motorcycle with a skeleton riding it, who's going through the gates of hell, but he's on fire.
Yeah. Or like one of your buddies who passed away, you have a picture of him and he's like on a surfboard playing a double neck guitar. Yeah. And like there's some musical notes that are going out.
Very cool. How about a wizard on a mountaintop with his sword raised up and lightning striking that sword? How about that?
This is my favorite part of the show.
Yeah, you know what? We could go on and
there's
a million of these, but you know, those are some of the ones that I've seen recently just looking at this. And you know, that kind of goes into the last thing that I want to mention about this and then our final thing.
Okay.
Hot Rodders. Hot Rodders love to customize old vans, and it's a trend that is not brand new. I mean, people have been taking older vans, because some of them have these really fantastic, cool lines.
Yeah.
And they modify them. They put mag wheels on them, they lower them, they raise them, whatever they do.
They'll even cut them.
A lot of times, they chop them down, they do all kinds of cool things with them. And, you know, a lot of times they even simplify them. Now, they don't go the wild, crazy, custom van, shag carpet route a lot of times. Sometimes when you look inside these things, they're very clean, very, very precisely put together. There's a lot of skill and craftsmanship.
They're Spartan.
Yeah, some of them are. Yeah, others do stay that way. You know, they have the Cristal chillers on the, you know, on the back, and you know, they've got a lot of different amenities that you wouldn't think of. But you know, they have these great big V8 engines. Mm-hmm. They've got really cool bodies to them a lot of times, and it's just a perfect vehicle for a hot rodder to do their thing with.
Right, and there's a great article that you can find via Hot Rod Magazine, which talks about some of the decisions that led to. The emergence of vans in hot rod culture, because at first it wasn't a smooth start. Some people were, to say the least, skeptical of including vans in this kind of field. But before we go to the big reveal for today, I've got two vehicles I think are interesting, and I want to tell you about them just briefly.
Of course.
Okay. So first, I showed you this picture while we were talking. This is the 1914 Alfa Romeo van.
Very cool.
Isn't that weird? It's
it's
an aerodynamic. It looks like something that came out of a Victorian steampunk novel. It was commissioned by a count named Marco Riccotti? Riccotti, I guess. And this is interesting if only because you don't really think of this manufacturer making a van. Top speed, 86 miles per hour.
That's pretty remarkable, but it is very aerodynamic, I suppose. It looks like almost like a teardrop design.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the round windows on that. That's really cool.
Yeah, and you should check this out if you want to see some pictures of a cool van.
You know, it reminds me of, it's almost like the old airplane bodies without wings.
Yeah, that's a really good comparison.
Or an Airstream trailer.
Airstream trailer too. You can check it. You can check out a replica of the car in the Alfa Romeo Historical Museum. The other one I wanted to mention, which this one I think we should do an episode on, Scott, the Stout Scarab. Are you kidding me? This is a weird and amazing vehicle.
Yeah, those are really cool. I've seen a Stout Scarab at a concours event before. They're fantastic looking.
Yeah, it has multiple seats. It looks like a car that let itself go. and wasn't eating right. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a little bit heavy in the fenders there.
It's a little bit heavy in the fenders. Do these fenders make me look fat? Yeah. The scarab is asking.
Yeah. It looks like it kind of looks a little bit like a hot rod. I mean, it's chopped. Mm-hmm. It's down very low. It's got overall a really cool design to it. I like it.
Yeah, and we won't say too much about it because if I get the green light from you, we're going to do an episode on this one.
Let's do it.
All right, so here we are. Noel, if we could have some dramatic music. I love the stuff you did last time so much.
All right, here we go. Our big reveal, I suppose, and I think maybe some listeners already know about this, but maybe not. If you haven't checked out some of these Japanese custom vans, please do it immediately. They're so wild, so out there that I don't even know if we can describe them properly. I mean, we'll try, I suppose, but they have these huge wings that these owners have attached to them, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think this is a love-hate vehicle, Ben. I don't think there's any middle ground here. I think people either really like them or they really hate them. I don't think somebody says, well, they're okay, I may drive one of those. I don't think that ever happens, but they've got these giant wings. They've got amazing light displays on them a little bit. You mentioned a type of truck, right, that it's similar to.
Yeah, it's similar to the Decatura trucks, which we have talked about previously. Heavily customized, some of the same form factors. You'll notice the fenders, the fenders that protrude, 2-3 feet?
Yeah, it's almost, can I tell you what I think that reminds me of?
What?
These things that stick out from the front and the back. You're talking about like these decks almost that stick out. They remind me of a swim platform on the back of a yacht. That's almost exactly like what these things look like. But I don't know if you could even walk on them. I think they're fiberglass, they're wood, whatever they happen to be. But, they've got custom paint, of course. They've got fins. And when I say fins, I mean fins that jut 10, 11 feet in the air. They're way, way up there. I mean, super high. I don't know how you would ever park it in a garage or even get underneath some utility wires in some cases.
Yeah, and they're often they're very brightly colored. They contain or they may have photos of popular fictional characters, right?
Yeah, I mean, you'll see like a lot of like Hello Kitties on the side.
Yeah, and anime characters. Anime.
Exactly, yeah.
I don't remember how to say it.
I think it's anime. Anyways, you'll see a lot of different characters painted on the side. Something that's important to the driver. And it's a lot along the lines of like a Decatura truck, like you mentioned.
Yeah.
In that
lights everywhere.
Everything that is on that vehicle means something to the driver in some way. It's a very personal vehicle.
Yet it goes without saying, of course, that these guys often have stellar sound systems. And, if you open up the rear door, they might mod the door so that it swings open like a hatchback. But when it opens up, you can see that they put as much work into the interior. The interior is by no means subdued, usually. It's as loud outside and inside.
Yeah, absolutely. These are crazy vehicles inside and out. They're just insane body modifications. And I mean, again, that transfers over to the interior with the sound design, the lighting, mm-hmm. The seats, the colors that they use are, usually very, I'll say gaudy colors. They're very, very garish colors.
Yeah.
And I mean, one thing, I guess that it all comes down to this. I mean, whether you like them or hate them, and if you look at them, you have to kind of admire the spirit and the craftsmanship that goes into building these things because they're well built.
If you can't admire the results, you can admire the techniques.
And I'm not saying they're well built and that they're going to hold up, if they go over several speed bumps fast or something like that.
They're pretty low.
I guess what I'm saying is you have to admire the effort and the time that has been put into something like this because this is their thing. They're not really into hot rodding. They're not into drifting or whatever. They're into modding these crazy vans in these wild ways with these amazing fins. I mean, it almost looks like, kind of like a caricature of like a fish.
Yeah.
Is what you could describe it as.
It looked to me, the question is, how fast can these go? But,
I don't think very fast.
Maybe that's, who knows? Maybe all those fins provide aerodynamic advantage.
No way.
Nothing like fiberglass jutting 10 or 15 feet out to help you.
These things are like driving a wall down the road, I think.
Well, we will see because hopefully somebody will get back to us about their custom van. You guys, thanks so much for checking this out. This has been All About Vans. As you can tell, Scott and I are fans of customized Japanese vans and custom vans in general. When you Google these, you will immediately know whether you are on the love or the hate side, because there are no other choices when it comes to these vans. So, Scott, what do you want people to send us this week?
Oh, man, they can go to our Facebook page. Mm-hmm. Of course, that's always a good place to get in contact with us. They can, you can follow us on Twitter.
Right, we do that.
Yeah, that's right. So, also, we've got our website.
Yes, carstuffshow.com, where you can check out our latest podcast. We've got some videos we put up there on occasion, some blog posts, some photos of us where we manage not to look hilariously awkward. I don't know.
Some we do.
I don't know. Yeah. Well, we did our best, you guys.
Yeah, we tried.
We tried.
Or, you know what, if you want to, you can send us an email, and our address is
carstuff@discovery.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@howstuffworks.com.